to follow it that way. We're in our final message from the Lord's Prayer, and we're reading this once again. And you might want to just close your eyes and pray it silently. Pray then like this, it says there in Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we're asking diagnostic questions as we began, just kind of ways to sort of check in that you got a pulse there. A lot of times diagnostic questions are sort of self-answered, sort of subjectively determined. This set of diagnostic questions today is more objective, sort of like if there's a highly contagious flu and you engage in activities to be around that highly contagious flu, will you get it? And if there is a vaccine for the highly contagious flu and you've had that vaccine, will you get the flu if you've been exposed to it? Something like that. There's an objective kind of diagnostic here. And here's the objective diagnostic. How vulnerable are you to fall into temptation? Objectively speaking, you and I are very vulnerable every single day. And here's another, though, objective test, diagnostic question. How able are you to have victory over temptation in Christ? It's another objective reality. Every single day with every single temptation, you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are able to have victory over the temptation you face every day. And you may say, Pastor Bruce, those sound like paradoxical truths. And in many ways, they are. In many ways, the aspects of today's message are going to be filled with these kind of paradoxes. They're not inconsistent, but they're two biblical truths placed side by side that just help us to see the glory of the gospel and the greatness of our need for it. And even as a redeemed believer, we are susceptible, very weak, very likely to fall into temptation. And if you lose sight of that, you're more likely to fall into it. And as redeemed believers, we are very able in Christ to have victory. And Matthew chapter 6:13 that we're looking at today, Jesus really tells his followers sort of how it is we have this victory delivered to us in our weakness. And it is that we look to God, so that he might deliver us. This is an urgent matter for all of us every day in our Christian life. If I could summarize this verse, it is that I am weak, but thou art strong. That song we sang about Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and sort of that looking to God every day that the team led us in is that truth as well. We need to look to God daily in our deliverance, in our weakness, for his deliverance in our fight against evil. And this little scripture, Matthew 6:13, just sort of summarizes all that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a prayer. It's a petition in this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We've been looking at that. If you've been with us, you know there's kind of the triplet number one and the triplet number two. The triplet number one is about God, the worship of God, the work of God, and the will of God. Triplet number two, where we've been looking these last weeks, is about our needs. And we're asking God for needs that we have related to physical needs, forgiveness issue needs, and today needs in our fight with and against evil. And this is a pattern for prayer to instruct us not just in saying some words, but in an understanding of how we always pray every day. This is what prayer looks like in the life of a believer. Looking to God then daily for strength in our weakness is part of what prayer is, biblical prayer. And that word daily, I think, is really important here. Imagine if you need a daily vitamin or a daily medicine. What if you said, hey, forget this daily stuff. I just want to take 1,500 of them for one time and get it done with so I don't have to mess with it, right? If you need that vitamin, if you need that medicine, of course, you need it daily. And prayer that delivers us, prayer that God uses to deliver us in our weakness as we face real temptations that without looking to him we will fall into, prayer is like that. We need it daily. Or maybe better put, we need it moment by moment. Every time we're aware of the temptation or even when we're not aware, we need God's deliverance. And we look to God in prayer to receive it. We don't say, oh, I'm big and tough. I can take this thing. I don't really need prayer. I can handle this one myself. You know what I think that's like? That's sort of like the big dog and the small dog. Have you ever seen that? That's big dog and the small dog. That little dog, you know, the big dog could chomp him with one bite. And this little dog, like acting like he's really big and tough and thinking he can take the big dog. And it's only because the big dog is nice that the big dog doesn't just wipe that little dog off. Guess what? The big dog that we face is not a nice big dog. The big dog of the devil is nasty, a liar, and wants to take us out and destroy everything good in our lives. Wants to minimize and destroy our ministry effectiveness. Everything good he's opposed to. And he's the big dog we stand against as the little dog. So what do? We call out to our master, our loving father, and say, Lord God, help me against that big dog. And as we do, he gives us the strength. He delivers us so that we don't fall into temptation. We're going to look today kind of three aspects to kind of just try to get our heads around what is this saying, how does it apply, how does God do this, the facts about temptation, the factors of deliverance, and the faithfulness of God to deliver, how he does that. As we look to God daily in our fight against evil, we're going to see how this final petition of the Lord's Prayer applies to us and our prayers and all of life so that we receive God's daily deliverance over temptation. So let's talk a little bit about the facts. There is a reality of temptation. Of course there is. This verse speaks of it, and scripture from cover to cover, of course, talks about it as well. There's this enticement to do evil. And the verse there says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, there may be some, take a little bit of pause in the first half of that verse and say, well, it almost sounds like God maybe wants to lead us into temptation and we have to convince him not to. And of course, that's not true because James 1:13 tells us that God never entices us to do evil. He just can't do that as God. He never would. The problem with temptation is that we like it. That's what James says. When we're tempted, we're lured and enticed by our own desires. Of course, Satan fans the flame of that which we like that does not honor God. And for some of us, that may be sort of fleshly temptation to lust or to lies or to excess. But there are those temptations that are not fleshly. Sort of temptations to self-righteousness, to apathy, to looking at those lines of it's about God and the work of God and say, no, it's not. It's about me and my little comfortable life that I want, for goodness sakes. There are temptations there as well that may look all dressed up and nice, but equally succumbing to temptation, right? So the list of temptations is long and profound, where we may have a particular enticement to evil may be different from person to person, situation to situation, but it is in fact a reality. That word temptation in the Greek is the word peirazo or peirasmos, and actually it's a real broad word. It could, that word in some contexts is just a trial. It's neutral. It's like you lose your job, you get sick, someone you love dies. There's no evil per se that we're being enticed into. We're in a situation in a fallen world of a trial. That word peirazo or peirazmos could even mean sometimes something positive, morally positive, that God puts us through a test because of his love, because he wants us to grow strong. And some believers don't have a category for that, but that's what our loving Father does. He doesn't want us to be flabby, little, immature believers. He wants to grow us, and sometimes he puts us through things that are difficult, like a refining fire, to make us strong, to purify us. And it's good that we go through that. But I'm convinced in this context here, peirazo, peirazmos, means an enticement to do evil. And that's one of the uses it has in the New Testament. I'll tell you why. And this is a good clue. I always think of this. When a word has a range of meaning, how do you know what it means in a particular location? You know it from its context. Verse 12 has just talked about sin, right? That's a key indicator of context. And the second part of verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Obviously, the temptation being considered here, the peirazo, peirazmos, is that which might lead us to do evil, and we're calling out to God our Father to deliver us so we do not. So the second half of the verse and the preceding verse clearly indicate temptation here, peirazo, peirazmos, is an enticement to do evil, and we face this every day. That's what this envisions. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. All three of these are daily realities. So if you're thinking you don't face temptation today, and you likely won't tomorrow, you don't understand temptation. But this prayer tells us that as we will face it, we call out to God for deliverance. And he gives it. So this then is why we need God's help, because we are weak in ourselves. We will fall in ourselves. The enemy seeks our destruction in all these ways. And God has promised deliverance, that he delivers in those daily doses as we look to him. If we rely on him, we will win. If we do not rely on him, we will not win. This is the way it is every single day. This is the way it is with every single temptation we face. This is why then Jesus gives us a model pattern for praying for God's deliverance every day. So that's the facts. God provides deliverance as we look to him. So what are the factors of that deliverance? Well, first, we could say definitely prayers is a factor of the deliverance. Now, as we look at Scripture, we can say, well, the Holy Spirit is a big part of the factors of deliverance, right? And yet, in this context, it's focusing on the Holy Spirit uses prayer. The Holy Spirit has worked through prayer. We can look at other Scriptures that talk about the importance of the Bible. The Scriptures themselves, thy word have you hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, Jesus, as he's tempted by the devil, he uses Scripture again and again and again. But I believe this emphasis here in this verse on prayer reminds us that the Scripture doesn't just sort of mechanically kind of give us power over temptation. Scripture gives us power over temptation when we rely on God to take hold of it. When we look to God as we hold on to it. So this is definitely grounding the deliverance in the relational. As we look to God, our loving Father, and cry out to him day by day and moment by moment. Jesus then directs us as his followers to pray daily in this way. So prayer is not just, you know, sometimes we fall into this, hey, prayer is I come to God and I ask him for the stuff I need. Well, one of the things you need is deliverance. Pray for it. Ask God for it every day and moment by moment. And when you face temptation, this biblical truth of God delivering And one of the factors of this deliverance coming through prayer, we can see over in Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus there with three of his disciples in the garden instructs them. He says, watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So how does the weak flesh receive God's deliverance? It's by watching and praying. What was true for those three disciples in that moment in the garden is true for all of us as Jesus followers all the time. That's what Matthew 6:13 is telling us. Watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. Then there is in this verse an implied promise. This is one of the factors. And clearly throughout Scripture, there are profound promises, and we're going to look at one of them today related to the factors of God's deliverance. But as we ask God for deliverance according to this pattern, He gives it. If you look at the petitions of the third triplet, give us daily bread, forgive us our debts, and lead us not into temptation, all of them are things that God has promised to give us already as His followers. But He instructs us to ask Him for them as well. And I believe that the way God fulfills and delivers on the promise is as we look to Him and call out to Him in prayer. So a person who says, well, I don't need to ask God for provision. I don't need to ask God for daily cleansing. I don't need to ask God for help in the struggle with temptation is really stepping outside of God and His protective care and promises. And kind of saying, you know what, I'll be on my own and handle this one. Whereas this verse instructs us, no, to come under His protective care. And in that, as we look to Him, God fulfills, of course, His promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, gives us a clear statement of God's promise as we face whatever temptation we face. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. God is always faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And if you think, well, I think this one I'm facing right now is beyond what I can bear, then I think you're wrong in your conclusion. Perhaps it is you need to call out to God for His help, as Matthew 6:13 tells you, and in that you will be able to bear. God has promised this deliverance, points us to a factor of the promise. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. God delivers time and time again as we look to Him. Let's talk about the plural. This prayer, this model prayer, is one that we typically think of personally. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And that's appropriate. But this verse points us to the plural, the sweet hour of prayer. You know the song Sweet Hour of Prayer, H-O-U-R, has that line in it, and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour, H-O-U-R of prayer. But here's there's an hour, a sweet hour of prayer, which is the O-U-R. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. It's the plural. It's the community of believers. And think of this. So often, when we think of temptation, we want to think, you know what? That's my own little private thing over here. It's just me and Jesus, okay? And I'm going to slug it out. Jesus, help me, and I'll be delivered. And here's the problem with that. Part of the reason it has the power it has is because you're keeping it just you. And when you bring that into the light of a trusted Christian friend, of a recovery group, of a Christian counselor, of a pastor, of a mentor, whatever, guess what? you've joined the sweet hour of prayer. You've got somebody else in your corner praying with you and for you as it relates to that issue. And here's the other side of that. You know why Christian communities tend toward self-righteousness and hypocrisy? It's because everybody comes together and pretends everybody's got it all together. And we're not willing to say, look, I'm a mess. I've got battles. Please pray for me now, and I'll pray for you as you face yours. And we're that kind of community. There's a power in the sweet hour of prayer. There's a power that helps us to stand against the temptations we face. Now, I'm not talking about airing out stuff that's inappropriate. I'm just saying all of us being real, because all of us are weak and vulnerable to temptation. And it's only in the power of Jesus that we stand. And it's always in the power of Jesus we stand. And that's why we need to remind one another as a community of believers and pray together for deliverance. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Another factor of deliverance, of course, is the plural. The prayers, the promise, and the plural. And let's talk about the faithfulness of God, the timing. How does God do this? This verse isn't primarily about this, but it points to this, and definitely in the scope of the entire revelation of Scripture, there's clearly kind of three different ways God delivers the deliverance. Sometimes he gives a deliverance beforehand. Just praise be to his name. He keeps us from it. Sometimes he delivers the deliverance in it. We're in the temptation. And it's real. And God, praise be to his name, he delivers us. Sometimes he delivers us in the point of crisis. That is, you basically decided you're going to sin. And yet, even at that moment, if we call out to God, he delivers us. He gives deliverance. Let's talk about the before. That first half of the verse, lead us not into temptation, I believe it reflects powerfully our conviction of our weakness, our utter weakness, and it reflects powerfully a conviction of God's sovereignty, God's complete sovereignty. The word lead us not into temptation, is the strongest word in the Greek language for lead. In fact, it's the word that's used, think of how strong it is, kind of the lead words. It's the word that's used over in a couple of the Gospels where the friends of the paralytic man carry him to Jesus. We're asking the sovereign God, our loving Father, just, you know what, God, I need you to just sort of carry me to where I'm not going down a temptation path where I might fall. It's almost like, you know, we're imagining there's a bridge out on the road that we're going to take, but we're asking God to take us another road. Just lead us away from temptation. And of course, many times God does. Think of all the temptations that you have not experienced that God has lovingly, sovereignly led you around. And another piece of this is the wisdom of this, of sort of saying, God, you know, can you just kind of preset things in my life? And I'm going to embrace that. Knowing my propensities, knowing my patterns, knowing there are places I won't go, people I won't be with, things I won't do, stuff, I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm in on this thing. I'm not so foolish as to think I'm big and tough and I can walk up to the temptation and go, yeah, I'll be fine. I know my weakness. God, in your sovereignty, lead me, and I embrace that I need to align myself with you in this. And we probably would all recognize the wisdom of an addict staying away from certain things. There are things in every one of our lives we need to stay away from. We need to do like the Job thing where Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. Job preset that. And that was this kind of submission to the sovereignty of God, right? So it's foolish for us to sort of pray this prayer and then not submit to this loving deliverance God's providing as he delivers us beforehand. We embrace that and submit to him as he does. And of course, none of us can create a life without temptation. We live in a fallen world. It's there. The devil seeks to use anything and everything to lure us away from Christ and obedience to Christ and glorifying Christ. And so we will be in temptation situations. This will happen. Let's imagine you lose your job. Let's imagine someone gets sick. Let's imagine a loved one dies. This is a trial. What happens in that trial? A lot of times you're like, oh, I don't know if I can trust God. I need to maybe take shortcuts here in my obedience to God, et cetera, right? There are temptations in trials. And think of this. There are temptations in blessings. And you may, if you doubt that, look over at 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, those who want to become rich, we're going to fall into a snare and lured and enticed or whatever, right? You may read that and say, you know, with that kind of riches, Lord, never give me that. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't good things that you shouldn't rejoice in, blessing of a job, of good health, et cetera, and et cetera. What I'm saying is when you're in a situation you're feeling blessed, there are temptations in that. If you happen to be really smart and handsome and rich, you don't think there's some temptations there? Man, there are huge temptations, right? So anything that's a blessing can be turned into an idol, can turn us into self-sufficiency, can make us look down on others, even success in ministry. You know, hey, the church is going great, and it's like, well, wait a second, man. We need that song, I need thee every hour I need you. We need humble hearts that trust God, because apart from him, we can do nothing. So there are these temptations, not only in the trials, but in the blessings. Satan is trying to use anything he can to throw at us, and we're in it. We are in temptation. Do we need to succumb? No. God delivers. God delivers during and in as we look to him. So we must look to him. And then at the point of crisis, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Let's look over at the second half of 1 Corinthians 10:13. As we look at this and consider this, when we're in the temptation, he provides escape. When you are tempted, it says, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So when you're facing temptation, it seems like, well, I need to sin because I've already started. No, look for the door. There is a way out. As we call out to God, he has said he will give us a way out. Look for the door. And if you pray this prayer, one will appear. So you can stand up under it. So Scripture tells us that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we're going to change the image from the bad dog now to the lion, which is a biblical image, 1 Peter chapter 5. So there's a lion. There's a lion, and one way God delivers you from the lion is he keeps you from the lion's pen. He orders your life as you call out to him, and you see and embrace his wisdom in how you order your life as you submit to him, that you're saying, you know what, on that one, I'm not going near that pen. God delivers us by keeping us from the pen. But we oftentimes are in the pen. And yet the lion is on a leash in the pen. The gospel is the leash that keeps the lion, even when you're in the pen. So as we call out to God, as we trust in God, as we look to God, God keeps us away from the lion. He reminds us of that gospel leash that's keeping the lion over there in the pen, even though we're in the pen. And then sometimes we foolishly ignore that the lion is on a chain, and we walk up to the lion. And the mouth of the lion is coming upon us, and yet God frees us from its grasp. You know, the word deliver in Matthew 6:13 is the same word used for that Paul used in 2 Timothy of deliverance from a literal lion. When Paul says, I was rescued from the lion's mouth, speaking of that he was not executed by a Roman thrown to the lion's den kind of moment, he used this same word, and I believe God does that same thing. He delivers us from the lion's mouth, that moment of temptation when we've ignored the chain and the lion and walked up to it foolishly. So how does he do this? He does it as we pray. He does it as we look to him. He does it as we trust in him. He does it, we take hold of the promise, his word, and we say, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what's our response? If you're here today and you've yet to receive the gospel, receive the gospel. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, I just want to remind you as we conclude of some truths about our walk in the Lord, having received the gospel. By faith in Jesus, you can have this eternal forgiveness and this victory. Throughout the New Testament, it's the victory that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my grace is made, is sufficient for you in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 5. Other passages reinforce this reality that it's only in Jesus we have victory. It's only in Jesus we're forgiven, and it's only in Jesus we continue to stand. So you must receive Jesus by faith. Don't try to win the battle by your own trying. Don't try to win the battle by your own praying even. You win the battle by becoming his. You win the battle by a personal response of faith whereby you enter into God's forever family. And that, of course, is the message of the gospel. Remember, this prayer, as it begins, is instructions for those who know and can rightly call God as Father. This is believers who pray this prayer. Faith in Christ puts us into that family. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 speaks of believing in him as the key to receiving forgiveness of sins. And that believing in him, of course, is the key to having that victory, that we stand in him, we continue to look to him and trust in him. So if you haven't taken that step today, I encourage you to do so. Let's talk about followers. I hope this is just reminding you the importance of looking to God daily for strength in your struggle, and all of us looking to God daily in the strength of our, for his strength in our struggle against evil. And he will give you deliverance. The devil is going to try to use all kinds of lies to keep you as a Christian from seeking God's strength for this victory. If he can just get you to compromise and sin and be kind of content with that and live in this life of not being filled with his power and strength, he's just going to happily feed you the lies that it's not sin, it's okay, we all do it, and just keep on succumbing to temptation. He's going to tell you, you know what, you just can't help yourself, you're going to do it, just keep on succumbing to temptation. He's going to give you all kinds of lies that are just going to try to keep you from taking hold of this truth, and we need to resist those lies and stand on the truth as we call out to God. You know, Satan also speaks lies related to the sins you did yesterday. He's lying to you about the sins you might commit today, and he's lying to you about the sins that you actually committed yesterday. And Matthew chapter 6, 12, that we looked at last week, addresses the sins of yesterday, or today's past sins, ones this morning. And Matthew 6, 13 addresses today's future sins, or the ones of tomorrow. And here in this prayer, God has given us an answer to both, as redeemed followers of Jesus, eternally forgiven believers in Jesus Christ. So what do we do with the sins we committed yesterday or the ones we did the morning today? We look to God for those past sins. We ask for cleansing. As an eternally forgiven believer, I know I've sinned. God, give me cleansing. And what do I do about the ones I'm going to face today? The ones of tomorrow. We don't just say, I hope I don't sin. No, we look to God for deliverance. We look to God concerning those potential future sins of today or tomorrow, and we say, Lord, help me, deliver me. And we pray that prayer again and again as we look to God, and He helps us to not fall into it. So how can you end a message like this other than with prayer? A message on prayer, about prayer, and the power of God's deliverance and delivering us through prayer. Let's take a time privately to talk to God about those sins of the past, today, yesterday, and those potential sins of today and tomorrow. And thank Him that He provides strength through the gospel, cleansing for what we've done, and deliverance for what we confront. Let's thank Him that this flows to us through Jesus, that He's our loving Father, and even that desire to not sin, though we are weak, is really an indication of the reality of our redemption, that we belong to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for forgiveness that You give eternally and also the cleansing You give daily to Your redeemed people. We confess our sins and we thank You that You give forgiveness. Lord Jesus, You know and we know that we are weak. You know our particular tendencies, each of us. And how we thank You, Lord Jesus, that as we call out to You, You give deliverance. We need You. Oh, we need You every hour, every minute. So help us, Lord, to take hold of Your promise, to stand as we look to You, that we do not fall into temptation, but are delivered from evil by Your grace and power, as we confront those today and tomorrow, this week, may we continue to look to You. We thank You and pray this. And we praise You for victory that You give.